I just can't wrap my head around that. You've got to be kidding me. That is insane. What now? Absurd. Bizarre. How could they? Have any of you found yourself saying any of these things lately? When you're watching the news, perhaps, watching the pandemic statistics, the presidential debates, thinking about the election, on Facebook, however it is that you might take in social media and the news. I have a feeling a lot of folks are talking back to their devices and their TVs lately. And no matter where we are in our political ideologies, wherever we are in the spectrum of things, acceptance, this pillar of joy that we're talking about today, is right on time. We're in a series, the 8 pillars of joy. The first 4 of the pillars are pillars of the mind, and today's our last of the mindset, and then we'll be moving into the 4 pillars of the heart. All of these pillars were identified by 2 contemporary spiritual giants of our times, His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And they are pictured here in, I think this one is a beautiful capturing of the idea of acceptance, as the Dalai Lama bows in his own tradition. And it looks to me like Desmond Tutu is blessing from his tradition. And so there is just innately this kind of acceptance that these 2 men really embody for us, accepting each other's traditions and ways of practicing with reverence, and also accepting the many paths to the one, all the different faith traditions. This is, of course, one of the aspects, one of the ways that we put acceptance in at work for us. If you think of the Dalai Lama, he dealt with an exile from his home country. And so he had to accept that reality, right? He had to move through that and lead his people from acceptance of that reality, of that exile, and all that came with that, the horrendous things that came with that, to finding a new home. And the Archbishop Desmond Tutu in South Africa had to deal with oppression, had to deal with apartheid in South Africa, and come to some level of acceptance of what was in order to move through it, in order to lead his people through that place of acceptance to reconciliation, to the truth and reconciliation processes that were a big part of the healing process of apartheid in South Africa. The Archbishop says this. He says that we are meant to live in joy. This does not mean life will be easy or painless, important to note. It means that we can turn our faces to the wind and accept that this is the storm that we must pass through. We cannot succeed by not denying what exists. The acceptance of reality is the only place from which change can begin. So acceptance is obviously not denial. And acceptance is also not giving up. Acceptance is not weak. It can actually be quite powerful. I love that line that we just read in his quote, "The acceptance of reality is the only place from which change can begin." So it's not a pushing back on or saying no to what is, even though we may be doing that right now, right? There's lots of pushing going on probably inside of us, lots of resistance. But I guess what this pillar is inviting us into is joy, right? And the pathway to joy will be paved by a willingness to say, okay, this is it. This is the reality. This is what I have to deal with. This is the present moment. Now what? Now what shall I do as I carry forth from that acceptance? So acceptance isn't a rolling over. It's not like a, oh, okay, we'll just throw up our hands and give up. It's never that. It's so much more than that. It's a really rich spiritual quality. And that's one that we are erecting, if you will, into this house of joy as we build pillar by pillar ourselves and our lives and our relationships in this way. So, you know, if you've lived long enough, and we all have, in fact, you don't have to live very long to deal with disappointments in life, challenges in life at all ages, right? And it's what we do with that. How do we face that? If you reflect on this line that this is where change begins, that change must begin first with acceptance, and you think about the things that you have moved through, the life challenges and the life disappointments, you know that was a part of the process. There had to be at some point an okay, this is what is right now, before then we can move forward into the transformation or toward the vision of what it is we want to fully experience. So when I was 7, it was the summer of 1972, I had one of these deep life disappointments that a 7-year-old could have, you know. Well, a lot of 7-year-olds have really serious ones. This is a much lighter story. I thought we actually might enjoy a light story these days. So, but to my 7-year-old self, there was nothing light about this. Let me make that clear. So anyway, it was a really exciting summer because my family had never been anywhere very far away. We had done a few road trip close by kinds of, you know, getaways for weekends and maybe a week at the lake or something like that, which was lovely. But, you know, like a real trip, my parents were talking about that summer, we were going to go all the way from Detroit, Michigan, where we lived, to California. It was like it stirred something really dreamy in my soul, like to this magical, mystical land all the way across the country. And not only were we going to go to California, we were going to go to Disneyland. I'm telling you, I could hardly sit still thinking about the days passing before this great vacation was going to happen, which I didn't really have a good concept of time and didn't know when it was going to happen, but I knew it was coming soon. Until one day, my dad announced we were moving, just like that. We're moving. We're going from Detroit to Chicago, and I said, well, what about our vacation? And he said, oh, we're not going on vacation, we're moving. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. Well, I'll tell you what, this is unacceptable. That's how I felt, you know, like having a temper tantrum around this. This is not okay, right? But what are your choices when you're 7? You know, I could, you know, run away, which always was an option that I thought about. I could rebel, or I could find a way through. Well, somehow I found a way through. And it turns out that move to Chicago was personally really good for me. I had a lot more friends in the neighborhood that were my age, and it kind of broke me out of my social shell that I had been in. So it ended up being a really positive move, but I knew in the back of my mind, this dreamy place, I was going to get there. And so it took me 15 years, but I did. As soon as I graduated from college, I moved to California, and after less than a year here, I felt homesick, so I went back. But I still knew I would come again. So 7 years ago, Brenly and I moved here, and now we live in this wonder-filled land of California. You know how it is, though. You have these experiences in life, and the point I'm trying to make here is that the acceptance is a bigger picture. There's always a bigger picture. There's always more factors, oftentimes more than we can see. There's always a divine timing to things. And so maybe it isn't right now, as much as our will wants it to be so or doesn't want something to be so. If we can just allow ourselves to move into acceptance and allow whatever is right now, we'll see how the divine plan unfolds over time, how there might be a better thing for us than what we are imagining, or things could actually get worse before they get better. And that too is going to involve a sense of acceptance, of allowance, finding a way through. So resistance, of course, is the opposite of acceptance. And the stress and anxiety that comes up for us is because we hold expectations. We hold expectations of how life should be. We hold expectations of how people should be, but we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But we hold expectations of how things should unfold, how circumstances should happen, how things should show up. And then when they aren't how we imagine them to be or how they should be in our minds, that creates the stress and anxiety. So if instead we can just kind of breathe into and accept what is before us and recognize that sometimes things are going to turn out differently than how we expected, and that railing and that pushing against is actually draining us of our energy to move into what it is that we want to co-create or manifest in our lives. So that energy drain is something we want to avoid. And one of the ways we can avoid it is not by not having visions and dreams and goals. That is part of acceptance. We're always going to have vision and dreams and goals. It's about that old snaggly thing called getting attached to the outcome. You know how that is, right? We have a goal, we have a dream, we've got our steps, and we expect it to move like this. And when it doesn't move like that, we think we're not going in the right direction. And we either try to get over-controlling, or we just get really upset about it. Or, you know, we do these things. We run away, or we rebel and act out. Or we find a way through. And it's the find a way through path that is, of course, the gem of acceptance that will get us to joy. So to redirect our energy is what happens when we accept, instead of to use up our energy in the fighting against and the pushing against and the resistance and aversion. So if we let go of our attachment to outcome and to timing and trust, in other words, basically what we're saying is, let go and let God, right? Trust that God is in charge. And when acceptance leads us into that, acceptance allows us to know, yeah, we do our part. We cast our vision. We hold our goals. We take the actions we might need to take. It's not about not doing our part. It's about being in partnership with Spirit rather than, you know, trying to make it happen ourselves, or just sitting back and taking no action, you know, and just saying, oh, God will guide me, God will guide me, God will guide me. Well, the guidance isn't in yet, and, you know, the house is flooding, so somebody better take action, you know. So it's that kind of thing, right? We need to find our way to that dance of partnership in listening and acting. Desmond Tutu says that when one grows in spiritual life, you are able to accept anything that happens to you. When one grows in spiritual life, we are able to accept anything that happens to us. Those are big words that come from people who have been through amazing oppressions and difficulties in the world, you know, and that have come through it. And so that's why I really like reaching, well, these two that wrote the Eight Pillars are great examples of this because of the kinds of things that they have walked through with them in their own lives and with their people. So oppression, pandemics, personal financial and health challenges, political divisiveness, notwithstanding. It's about our spiritual walk, right? And the more we work it, the more we do our inner work, the easier it will be for us to deal with whatever it is we need to deal with, to be able to accept anything that comes our way. So what about acceptance now when it comes to people and differences of opinion? I waited to get to this one because this is the heart of it right now, isn't it, for a lot of us? This is the real work. This is the real spiritual work for us that is laid before us at this time. If others have different beliefs or opinions of us, well, or opinions, period, than ours, you know, we have this sort of, it seems like kind of an egoic wiring anyway, that says that if people, I expect people, we expect people because of that perspective lens, right? We expect people to have similar ways of expressing and similar opinions. And when they're different than ours, we tend to have a harder time with it. I mean, that just seems to be sort of how at least the egoic mind works. And a lot of us see through that lens in day-to-day life. So it's the work to recognize that we're not necessarily the right ones, that there are many different ways of seeing. Remember that first pillar was about perspective, so that one keeps coming back in, weaving into our work together. So when people don't match up to those expectations that we have, there can be so much suffering, right? Suffering ourselves, suffering that we put upon others through this process. And that's what we want to alleviate. That's what we're talking about here with acceptance of various opinions and ideas and beliefs. So whether we're 7 or we're an adult, it comes down to basically the 3 same choices. You know, that we can either run away or we can kind of act out or rebel in a way, fight back, or we can find a way through together. You can guess which of those is probably the best choice for this pillar of acceptance. Finding our way through together is allowing for room for diverse opinions. It's allowing room for more perspectives than just your own. It's believing that there's not just one right way. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, the test of faith is whether we can make room for difference. The test of our faith is whether we can make room for difference. So a commitment to truly making room for differences isn't always going to be easy. That's why he's saying it's a test of faith, right? Sometimes it's just going to feel like we're failing, you know, when we step into and really try. Sometimes we're going to be better at this than other times. Sometimes we're going to feel like we need to just walk away. But hopefully that's just temporary and that we're not giving up. We're just taking a little pause, a little break to help ourselves recalibrate maybe. Our success on this road to acceptance will be far easier if we make room for grace. What does that feel like? What does that sound like? Let's take a moment to listen.
Used to think I had to have my own way, could do everything on my own. Living my life like a one-woman play, feeling confused and alone. Still I held on tight to the life that I knew, till it wasn't the life I remembered. Finally admitting I hadn't a clue, I opened my arms and surrendered. And I made room for grace. I just stepped aside, opened up a space. Watch the blessings arrive every day, since I made room for grace. I want to live without making demands, asking for help when I need it, being happy, just doing the best that I can. When I stumble, I won't be defeated. Since I made room for grace, I just stepped aside, opened up a space. Now the blessings arrive every day, since I made room for grace. If I had insisted on all that I wanted, I see I'd have sold myself short. But when I stopped resisting, I got what I needed, so much more. Since I made room for grace, I just stepped aside, opened up a space. Watch the blessings arrive, I made room for grace. I just stepped aside, opened up a space. Now the blessings arrive every day, since I made room for grace. Since I made grace.
Wow, what a beautiful song by Sue Riley. And I think she wrote that with Melinda Allen, it said on the slide, and also performed with Daniel Namad. And so, you know, I after hearing that song, I just feel more relaxed and open. I don't know if you do too, but that's the actual literal experience of making room for grace. When we accept, we make room for spirit. We make room for grace to move through our lives, to move through our relationships, to move through our bodies and our hearts. It doesn't take that much of a shift, even if we're in a space of tightness and anger and difficulty and conflict. We can just take, the more practiced we get, right, with our spiritual teachings and practices, the more we can just shift so easily. Ah, I'm making room for grace for everyone, for myself and everyone around me. And so there's a couple different ways we can cultivate acceptance and make room for grace. There's probably a lot of them, but I'm just going to focus on three. One is meditation. Meditation just gives us a spaciousness of mind and heart and body. And you don't have to take, if you're not a practitioner and you want to be a practitioner, it doesn't have to be a huge undertaking to get started. Just take a few moments out of each day, you know, and just take some time to go within and to be present, just for those few moments, to be present with the breath, to be present with the sound of the birds around you, to be present to a piece of music, whatever it is that works for you, to be present to that infinite silence. And when we practice in that way, then when we move off the cushion, so to speak, and out into the world in day-to-day life and circumstances arise, we are so much better practiced and ready to find room for grace, to allow some acceptance to happen of the moment and exactly what is right now. Another thing that is a practice for us, really, is our relationships. So the more I think that we are in interaction, whether it's with more people or with individuals at more depth in day-to-day life, it allows us to keep working, to keep chipping away at this pillar of acceptance that will lead us to joy. This is the one where we give room for each other to have differences of expression, differences of opinion, differences of beliefs, and to be curious. So when we're speaking to people, we can just, you know, use the mantra, I am curious. I'm staying curious. And so if somebody maybe is saying something you don't like and you're starting to feel, you know, your blood pressure rise and your heartbeat and you want to say something back, and you can say, okay, I'm just going to melt in for a moment to curious, open. I'm curious and open. Those are some ways that we can help ourselves, you know. That calmness that we bring when we're practiced at meditation, when we're more practiced in our relationships, it's kind of like what Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist Vietnamese monk, talked about when the refugees were coming over on the boats, that his community. And he talked about how the boats were just jam-packed with people, and along would come pretty dire circumstances, storms, not enough water, pirates. And he said all it took was one person on the boat to remain calm, one person to be in that space of accepting of what is, one person able to make room for grace. And that was enough to shift the entire energy of the boat. So that is true for us everywhere we go, everything we do. Everything we engage in, we have the opportunity and the challenge, perhaps, and Spirit's invitation to be the one person that shifts everything in the boat of life. The last way that I think we really cultivate acceptance and make room for grace is through collective action. And Unity has taken some collective action. We've joined as a co-sponsoring organization, another organization called Braver Angels, that's putting on a program called With Malice Toward None. Brenly spoke of it a little bit during the announcement time. And it's designed to help us through the national divisiveness, and particularly was an anticipated program that after the election there might be even deeper divide for us. And so to head that off at the pass, that we begin to practice together ways that we can come together instead of create further divisiveness. So that's putting this pillar of acceptance and joy into action for sure. So, if the election turns out differently than the way you want it to, will you have strong feelings? Many of us will. And we may project on the people who voted differently from us. We might even have visceral feelings like disdain, maybe even hate or ridicule. And if these things show up, we can't necessarily control feelings, right? Visceral feelings are visceral feelings. But what we can control is how we respond, how we work through them. And this program with Malice Toward None is designed to help us move through those feelings and move to a greater unified, harmonious way of being with fellow Americans. Sound good? So I want to tell you more. So the first step in the program is to take a pledge. That's the challenge. So I've taken the pledge, and I'm going to invite you in a few moments to take this pledge too. In short, the pledge is to not hold hate against fellow citizens, no matter who wins or loses. So I'm first going to read this pledge and give you a moment to digest it. And then if you aren't ready or you just want more time with it, you can go to our website and read it again and kind of be with it some more. And if you are ready on the second time through, I'm going to invite you to take it with me. So first, just to read through, take a few moments. Here's how it goes. Regardless of how the election turns out, I will not hold hate, disdain, or ridicule for those who voted differently from me. Whether I am pleased or upset about the outcome, I will seek to understand the concerns and aspirations of those who voted differently from me, and will look for opportunities to work with people with whom I disagree. If you're ready to take it, let's do this together. And as I said, you can always go to our website and take more time with this. So I'm going to just do the traditional because this feels true for me. I put my hand on my heart as I say this. Together, regardless of how the election turns out, I will not hold hate, disdain, or ridicule for those who voted differently from me. Whether I am pleased or upset about the outcome, I will seek to understand the concerns and aspirations of those who voted differently, and I will look for opportunities to work with people with whom I disagree. Wow, that feels powerful. Some of the production team took that with me and right here, and I can imagine us all speaking that together at the same time. This is our work. It's not easy. Nobody said this lifetime was going to be easy. Nobody said the year 2020 was going to be easy. This is what our souls signed up for, to be embodied right now, to work through the challenges that are before us, and to take these kinds of commitments and pledges and follow through. It's a powerful time in our country. We have a potent opportunity to fully embody this quality of acceptance. If you want to even take another step with the pledge, you can sign it on the braverangels.org website. Martin Luther King cast a vision for the beloved community, a community where we accept one another in all of our glorious diversity. I believe, I hold in my heart and my soul and my prayers that this is where we're headed. This is how it goes. The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community. It is this type of spirit and this type of love that can transform opponents into friends. It is this type of understanding goodwill that will transform the deep gloom of the old age into the exuberant gladness of the new age. It is this love that will bring about miracles in the hearts of men and women and people of all genders. Don't you want to dwell in that beloved community? Don't you want to be a part of co-creating that? This is our opportunity passionate times like these are times when movements can happen, transformation can happen. The spiritual energy is before us now for lasting positive change. And we start with our own hearts, with our own minds, with our own relationships to build bridges, heart to heart, relationship to relationship, mind to mind, instead of to burn them. No one said, as I said earlier, that this is going to be easy, but we're on this path and we're on it together. And that also gives us solace and energy too, I think. And for the sake of the beloved community, we move forward and do our inner spiritual work to make it so. So I'm going to sum up today's message with two message masks. I like these masks that have messages. I especially like them because it's not like wearing a message on a hat or a t-shirt. It's like right across your mouth, right? So the message is really clear. This is what I'm speaking. So if you'll bear with me for a moment, I'm going to reach for my prop. Oh, this is a little... It's a little trickier than I thought it was going to be. So I've been wearing this mask for about 6 weeks, and people comment on it all the time. And, you know, I just want to encourage you too. If you have not yet voted, no matter how you're voting, vote. It's your opportunity to share your voice, to cast your heart and mind's ideas of what is best for our country. So please do vote. And now, as a lot of people have voted, I've started to wear a different one. So hold on, costume change. And costumes are right on for Halloween, right? So according to our staff, this mask is not only a Unity fundraiser that will benefit Unity financially, but it also is a literal, it has the magical power to literally filter out any malice, because there we are with the message unity, right? And you can't really speak in a way that's counter to unity and wear this mask without being a hypocrite. None of us want to be a hypocrite. So it is with this mask that we help bridge the divides and we create unity, our namesake. It's who we are. So let's walk that talk. Let's be that unity in the world. Let's allow, no matter how these election results come in for us, to be the voice and the power of unity together. So I want to encourage us to, and we get a little jump start since election results may not come in for a while. We get a little jump start to let this affirmation really become firm in our consciousness, which is what an affirmation is, making it firm. We're making this truth firm in our consciousness. So this is what I invite you to say with me, that we are accepting this year's election results in all people with malice toward none. Let's say it together. I accept this year's election results and all people with malice toward none. And so it is. Bless you in unity.